Oh boy, it's the Great Debates program, podcast, and satellite radio show.
All of those things, it's everything. Baby.
And Twitter feed and Twitter conversation.
Way of life, really. Donut, calm down, girl.
Donut.
Sorry, guys.
That's cool with me.
She'll shut up. Don't worry.
I'm going to get us right into a micro debate. 4 minutes on the clock. Steve Healy taking the pro.
When did it become 4 minutes?
A while ago. Actually, it was originally 4 minutes, and then we dropped it down to three. We felt like it was never enough, and
so we beefed it.
You want? I'll do three. 3 minutes on the clock.
Okay.
One's initials are in some way meaningful.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro, I assume, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Names have some kind of meaning. It's associated with you. It becomes sounds you associate with you. I'm not saying it's cosmic or that it predicts your life or that it will change your fate. But if you have the initials ASS or something, it's going to affect your life. It's going to be part of who you become.
Come on,
it's going to change your nature. I have SCH. Look, it's a sound. It's a sense of syllables. It has some meaning to me. It represents the name that I have, which also has a lot of meaning about what my parents believed, where I come from. There's information embedded in it. Is it perfect? No, but it's some information and some significance.
I think that all of the significance that comes with a name, that comes with a sort of a lineage, a history, is diluted and basically negated when you distill it down to one's initials.
Negated?
Yes, so everything you're saying I kind of agree with, but I don't think that, like, or not everything, but I think your point of obviously, like, one's name has meaning and one's, you know, like, the one's last name is important, but the idea that, like, because SCH makes a sound that's like, that doesn't actually mean anything, that's just sort of a fact. The same way that my initials are DAK. Donut, goddamn it! The same way that DAK makes a DAK sound, that doesn't actually mean anything. That's just sort of what those letters spell out.
I think so totally there is some there's some sonic resonance to DAK
that's
to
true.
You. You're kind of like Dax Shepard. There's just connections
I'm very unlike Dax
Shepard.
There's
a lot of things that exist. You both work for Mike Schur. Right there, you're closely akin. Isn't he on Good Place? Is that his
point? He has been.
Yeah.
But the idea that, like, that actually has, there's no actual meaning. It's just, it's the same way, I mean, I would liken it to sort of like a horoscope or something, where it's like, yes, everyone is born with one of them, but it doesn't give you an actual sense of who you are. There's no actual meaning
behind it. Disagree.
A
lot of, millions of people put a lot of significance in their horoscope.
Yes, but do you think horoscopes have meaning?
I think there might be something there.
Okay, so you're obviously
going
to dance around that because you know the answer is no. But what was the thing
I think you're
said
confusing
earlier?
Horoscopes and astrological sign, by the way. Your horoscope is like the daily prediction.
Okay,
your sign, sure. What's your sign?
Gemini.
Yes, of course. You're a twin kind of guy.
Yeah, I mean,
you're
at
war
that
with yourself,
anything.
Obviously.
I think you lost the debate when you said if your initials are ASS because you had to give an extreme one in a billion example of someone who would be teased for their initials. So that was the only example you could think of someone whose life was actually in some way affected by their initials in a meaningful way.
Actually, it's only one in 17,576.
Well,
right?
That's only
so a lot of people have
no because ASS. People don't randomly assign their children initials. One of the things they think of when they name their kids are what their initials are going to be, and if they realize that the initials are going to be
they know
ASS,
it's meaningful.
They don't name that kid Adam Stephen Smith. You jerk,
Dave
Healy. You know what? Could have used a fourth minute.
Uh-huh.
I think
Donut
got you off your game and you're not happy about it.
Donut screwed everybody up, but Dave in that 2 minutes and 48 seconds zone kind of like threw his gauntlet down and it wasn't pulled out of the table.
Congrats. You got to punish me for taking a minute off the debates.
Healy's upset and this is just where I want him. I like it. I can tell he's rattled. He doesn't know what's going on.
Oh,
he's
man.
Smiling. He's grinning through it, but he knows. All right. Okay, Healy. Sorry.
I think my attitude is similar to the listeners at this point, which is, what is this? There's a dog barking. These guys can't get their shit organized the slightest bit.
I think
they're going to yell about initials in a meaningless way.
Everyone knows. Anyone who knows Donut at all knows that Donut is beautiful and charming. Donut, my God. She's acting crazy today. Anyway, follow her on Instagram, Donut in the City. Mm-hmm. Healy, Wow, Healy's legitimately angry.
Well, so we've got an extra minute for the middle of the show, Healy. Do you have any ideas of what we might want to do with it?
Yeah, I did want to bring up a previous debate that we had.
Uh-huh.
This is what I would call, like, debate. I think you won the debate, but you should have won it in a rout.
Okay.
It was Lin-Manuel Miranda is cool. Uh-huh. That was a topic. Uh-huh. Over the holidays, I was looking at Lin-Manuel Miranda's Twitter feed, and he and his high school buddy apparently have a tradition where they get together over the holidays and make, like, a long dominoes, like, oh, you know, boy. Thing that they mm-hmm, knock over, mm-hmm. and they're, like, cheering, and they're super psyched about it. And look, Lin-Manuel Miranda is awesome, but
he's
cool?
Not cool. Yeah, no, that's crazy.
I mean, I shouldn't have been allowed to debate after that.
What is the, like, how many dominoes would you estimate are in, like, what's the size of the domino thing that he's doing?
Enough to be like, wow, that's a lot of dominoes, but not enough to be like, this is a worthwhile enterprise.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Look, by the way, it looked like fun. It's cool in a way that he's hanging out with his friend. Cool in a more colloquial sense, but
right,
cool. No, this guy is not cool.
Have you ever done that where you set up all the dominoes and then knock them
down? Not in a long time. Is it fun?
I don't know. I've always wanted to try it. No. I like when you get enough to where you need separate camera angles to really.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I'd like to watch a big one every about once a year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Where do you go to watch one?
YouTube, but one would have to come across. I'm not seeking it out.
Uh-huh. Right.
One has to be brought to me.
Uh-huh.
I have a tiny, separate little piece of host chat that occurred to me as we were starting the show.
Very cool. Mm-hmm.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love our theme song. It's very sort of like classic and it has a real feeling, unlike one's initials. It has some meaning to it, I feel. What do you guys picture when you hear that theme song? I had a strong image in my head for the first time today.
Fascinating.
Here's what I pictured. You ready?
Yeah.
Or maybe I should put it to you first. Do you guys picture anything when you hear the theme song?
Some kind of parade, fanfare type. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's what I pictured.
Yeah. It's, curtain lifting.
Yeah. This is similar. I picture you and me in, like, colonial garb, and Medina is opening up a sort of, like, you know, a small, what do you call it? Like a
chest of debate topics.
Well, it's basically like dual weapons.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Or maybe that's what it is. If this were like an animated series, we would each like pick a microphone and then take 10 steps away from each other.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
If we got a call tomorrow from the head of Colonial Williamsburg, and he's like, look,
very likely,
I love the great debates. Mm-hmm. You guys are just what we need over here at Colonial Williamsburg. I'm going to offer you guys lifetime contract. You're each going to be in character as a member of the Virginia House of Delegates. Uh-huh. And, you know, a couple times a day, you're going to have a debate over whatever. Right. The tourists
the
are going to come.
Tax
the butter tax. The candles should be taxed, not butter. Because the king said, the salary is significant.
Right.
And, you know, we'll all relocate to Williamsburg 20 years or so of doing that.
My first gut is that I would say no, and then I would live to regret it every day for the next 20 years.
Can I tell you, I was just saying to Sal that I wanted for my 50th birthday party, which is a ways off yet, to do a thing where everybody had to show up in powdered wig style attire.
That would be great.
A great party, right?
What year will that be?
27.
So it could be like party like it's 1827.
Exactly.
The odds, I mean, the way fashion goes, that could be just fashion.
Right.
It's just going to take one Instagram post from Cardi B in a powdered wig, and suddenly everybody's doing it.
George Magazine is back.
Oh, yeah, George Magazine.
George Magazine.
Had a moment.
Look, we didn't come here to talk about George Magazine.
Well, what did we come here to do?
In some ways, we did. Right?
Okay. I've got another debate topic.
Oh, speaking of things that went down in the ocean. Look, I had to find a connection between George Magazine and our next topic. And I think I found it, right?
Hmm.
Healy, what's going on?
Healy's ready to put it all into the debate.
It's just a fact. John John, he co-founded George Magazine, right? Mm-hmm. Perished in the ocean. I think it'll make sense.
Okay, you're doing the punchline, and now you're dragging out the punchline before the setup has been heard by the listeners. Yeah. Where did you go to comedy school?
Punchline okay. First University.
Here we go.
Wow.
Listener Nate S.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Nate. Submitted this wonderful top. Healy taking the pro, right?
Yeah.
The Titanic disaster was a net positive.
Okay. I'm Steve Healy, and I'm taking the pro. And it's going to be difficult for the listeners and the moderator to separate their emotional reaction from a more cold, realistic assessment of the Titanic. Titanic went down, something like 1,200 people drowned. Very tragic.
For what it's, I happen to look it up just so we can stipulate it.
Okay.
It's roughly 1,500 people died. You were very
roughly
close.
1,500 people died.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people, a lot of lives lost, a lot of tragedy. All those people would be dead now anyway. Probably that many people died in mine accidents, carriage overturnings, furnaces exploding that year. Like on the grand scale, that is a statistical blip of how many people died. So take the emotion out of it, the personal losses, and just step back and say, okay, 1,500 people died, but out of that, we got this A, incredible story, B, really powerful image that all of us can take with us. The so-called unsinkable ship can sink. We humans are not super. It's the defining metaphor of human arrogance, taking extra care with your engineering. A lot of things came out of the Titanic, SOS signals, having enough lifeboats on the boat. Probably many more lives were saved over the long run than were lost in the course of the Titanic. Finally, a lot of the people who died in the Titanic, a lot of them are rich people. The money was freed up in different ways. Widener Library at Harvard was built out of money that was sort of squandered on the Titanic. The search for the Titanic, that brought out a lot of engineering, innovation, sonar developments. We've all heard of Dr. Robert Ballard. It was cool that he found that. And then the film of the Titanic made a lot of money, brought a lot of people a lot of joy and happiness. That was a cool achievement. I'm seeing a lot of benefits weighed against again, personally quite sad, but statistically meaningless amount of loss.
I think that's a compelling argument, but I think one of the most important things that I need to bring up is that it's not just 1,500 lives lost. We sit here 100 and what is it, almost a little more than 100 years later, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's four generations that have gone by. So it's not 1,500 lives. That could be about 10,000 people today. If you imagine that each of these people would have had children, who would have had children, who would have had children.
Yeah, we got it. Who looks around the world and says, you know what, we could really use 10,000 more people?
Well,
also, for all we know, some of those 10,000 people, serial killers, Nazi scientists, inventors of horrible drugs.
Okay, well then, by that logic, the more people that died, the more people that die, the better. Is that what you'd like to argue, that in history, the best events are the ones where the most people die?
I'm not arguing that at all.
Well then, why? Okay, but then you.
I'm just asking you to say when you say there would be 10,000 more people. Yeah. Okay, good and bad. Not an argument in either direction.
Well, I think okay. If you really want to argue that most people are bad and that, like, the net outcome of there being 10,000 more, like, it's also not just, like, whether they're good or bad. It's whether people should be alive at all.
I'm always on the life-affirming
side. I don't know how you can feel that, like, 1,500 lives lost is a tragedy, but the 10,000 lives lost is like, well, we have to measure whether these people were good or bad to begin with.
It seems you're just like getting into such a realm of abstraction that it's not meaningful to debate at that point. Whether 10,000 people that we may or may not have existed would have been good or bad, it's nothing.
Okay, well then let's. Okay, I still think it's a valid point, but if you want to stick to the actual 1,500 people who died, we don't know what they would have contributed to for the rest of their lives. Most of these people died young. There were a lot of young. I mean, if you've seen Jack and Rose, you know how young they were. Were those their names?
Yeah.
In the movie? Mm-hmm. Okay. If you want to talk about the actual movie, I think the movie is not very good, and I think the movie helped to maintain an era of bad blockbusters wherein the quality of movies that people made was lowered because of the type of movie that attracted people to the theaters, which is to say big spectacle movies. Why are you laughing?
Because it's like, I love watching. It's like, I feel like a cop who put a sign for the, you know, I'm a bank robber trying to run away from the cops. And I put a sign that said, bank robber went over here, and it points towards some quicksand, and you're the cops running into the quicksand. You're sitting over here talking about whether the movie is good or bad. What kind of argument is this?
You were the first one who brought up the
okay,
movie.
Okay, sure. Yeah, keep going.
I don't understand. Are you saying you should not have talked
about
the movie?
No, keep going. Keep talking about whether the movie was bad and kept alive an era of bad blockbusters. You think that's the strongest argument you can make?
No, I just wanted to refute the point you made about how the movie brought a lot of joy to people.
Hey, go nuts.
I'm not sure what's going on with, like, what am I supposed to do? Not talk about the things that you talked
about? Keep going. Win the debate. Your side is that the tragedy of the Titanic.
You're trying to get in my head, but all it makes me do is like wonder if you understand like how we usually debate or not.
What's
you brought up the movie, and then I started talking about the movie, and you were like, "Okay, buddy, talk about the movie if you want to." You're the one who raised the issue to begin with.
What's the top again? Can we hear the top clearly stated?
The Titanic disaster was a net positive.
Okay. So one of the things you mentioned also...
You have to argue that the Titanic disaster was not a net positive. That's all you have to do.
Well, right. But okay, one of the things that we do on the Great Debates is we go point by point. We've done how many of these?
We don't 200? Have to. It's not the rules.
Okay. Well, it's one of the most common tactics in debate is attacking the points that the other person has made and trying to make other points after they've destroyed the other person's argument. But if you want to make this a referendum on the very nature of the way we conduct these debates, then that's fine with me. I'm sorry that it was so comical to you that I brought up the movie after you had brought it up, that you had to laugh about it and tell me that was running into quicksand. Yes, there have been advances in whatever sort of technology for finding wreckage because of the Titanic. But in fact, most of that technology, I believe, was developed beforehand and developed not to discover the Titanic itself, but actually discover sunken treasures. And the Titanic, although it was a lot of wealthy people on it, didn't have any sort of like treasure of value in the actual things that people were looking for and spent decades of their lives advancing technology of sonar and diving were actually more for either things of actual value, meaning like sunken treasure, or things of actual historic value. There were only a small number of people who were dedicated to finding the Titanic, but in fact, there were a lot of people who were dedicated, for example, to finding the sunken wreckages of World War II vessels, which led to an... Why are you laughing again? Man, Healy, you're like, I don't know what's going on. Suddenly to you, the whole idea of me talking about anything you've talked about has become so funny that you can only laugh about it. All right, I'm done with my opening statement. Let's get into Free Skate. What else do you want to talk about?
Look, we're in Free Skate. The Titanic's value as a metaphor is so much bigger than the small number of individual lives 100 years ago were lost.
You want to talk about a metaphor. What is the metaphor of the Titanic? What do you think is the takeaway of the Titanic?
The metaphor is big, invincible, unsinkable thing can easily hit an iceberg, get scraped, and sink. And that the arrogance of the builders, the arrogance of big business, the arrogance of the White Star Line, the arrogance of the designers, then the individual stories of, you know, we all know the tales of like heroic people that gave up their spot on the lifeboat versus, you know, rich people that were pushing and shoving. I think the guy that ran the White Star Line, like, allegedly he dressed as a woman and got in a lifeboat. I mean, it's a great example of just sort of corporate crookedness and the sniveling cowardice that can exist at the center of a capitalist system. And you can study the Titanic for the rest of your life and not really get bored in terms of human stories.
As someone who is, as we've seen earlier, outraged by levels of abstraction here, what are some real-life examples of ways that that metaphor and those stories have impacted people more so than the 1,500 people who died, who in a very real way no longer breathed and walked this earth?
Well,
so tell me now how metaphor, almost the definition of an abstraction, which you so abhor, tell us how that has helped people's lives in a net positive way.
Over human history, we've accumulated stories that help us to understand the world and help us to provide a framework
for dealing with and interacting with the world. That people said, let's not be the Titanic here, and it ended up being a net positive. Well, remember the metaphor of the Titanic and apply it in this very real way.
I mean, the great thing about the Titanic is that we have that story, and as a result, we're building a uncrashable airliner. Well, let's really think about that. Let's make sure we're not doing the Titanic here. Let's do another round of safety checks. Who knows how many lives have been saved? Countless, I would guess. Anyone who's doing engineering of any kind of passenger vessel, anyone who's dealing with ocean safety, anyone who's dealing with any kind of situation where you'd have to get off in lifeboats has thought about the example of the Titanic, used the lessons from it. So in a way, those 1,500 people are martyrs to the larger cause of safety. It's a shame that they died, but the power of their death has been brought out in the innovations of safety in ocean transport. There really hasn't been a disaster on the scale of the Titanic since then, as far as I know, aside from the World War II in terms of maritime catastrophe. It just hasn't happened. So, closing argument? I don't know. You got anything?
No.
You want to talk about the movie some more?
No, I mean, you know the movie's bad. I don't know. The
movie's great.
You really feel that way?
Yeah, it's a very compelling movie. It's a little bit cartoonish, but it has a lot of fun performances. It has a sort of campy fun to it. Spectacular, really innovative filmmaking, incredibly ambitious. Launched the careers of a couple of great actors, helped out the careers. You know, Billy Zane will live forever in that role. Like, that's cool.
Billy Zane.
Okay.
That's it?
I guess.
God.
I feel like I beat Dave every way possible.
Okay. What were the ways in which you beat Dave?
In a straight up linear debate, and also like breaking his ability to conduct a debate, he was basically broke down like a machine.
You chose an odd tactic, which was to mock the very process of the debate.
Sure.
I don't know that it read great. I think if we're really breaking it down, Heels, you made a nice point about the idea that it was the defining metaphor of human arrogance.
Okay.
I thought that was a wonderful turn of phrase.
Thank
it really
you.
Stuck
you.
With me.
Granted.
But then Dave, you know, if we're just putting tick marks in columns, was kind of also able to say, what has that done for us? The idea, this metaphor, what value has the metaphor brought other than, and you know, what the way I might have appreciated, which was, as a nice turn of phrase.
Not unlike one's initials. Is there something beyond just the mere sound, if you will?
And then there was a lot of like blah about like the...
Boy, was there ever.
There was a lot of blah.
Which I'm going to just toss because I think it was not a net positive. So there, I'm trying to figure out...
Look, you better just say that Healy won, or else there's...
It could get ugly.
Yeah, just fine. Healy won. I tried to say... Look, let's talk it through. Healy, after I said, like, well, what did that actually do in real-life cases? And Healy brought up whatever...
Presented the fact that, you know, basically safety, ships are safe now.
Which we have no idea if that's actually because of the Titanic or not.
Right,
but
that's
sure.
True, but you didn't... Dave, you didn't refute his argument that... The case that he made that it's made things safer, and so we don't really know.
I don't think either of us have enough information about the actual like history of maritime safety and to know. I mean, I doubt that. I mean, you mentioned planes and stuff. I really doubt that the Titanic had anything to do with
the SOS
FAA regulations.
Come from the Titanic, or was that?
I think so, but I might be. I don't have the book in front of me.
Sure, I
think
it.
There's something like Mayday or SOS was like the first one ever was the Titanic.
Uh-huh. I love that. Okay.
I'm going to try to look it up really quickly.
Anatomy of a debate.
Yeah, looks like it predates the Titanic, but sure, whatever.
Okay, so
maybe it popularized, you know, distress signals of some kind.
Yeah. I think he has that on you, so maybe, yeah, mathematically.
Look, he can have it. I mean, it's fine.
It wasn't my favorite debate of all time.
Sure. He won't even talk right now.
What do you want to hear?
Stunned. Anything. I don't know. We're just hanging. I thought we were just hanging out talking about the Titanic.
I think I'm going to go ahead and take us out of here on a high note.
Yeah.
A little bit of laughter.
Yeah.
Guys, I really enjoyed this episode. I mostly enjoyed this episode.
There's no sense in lying to the audience.
I enjoyed a lot of things in this episode, and then there was some weird shit.
Perhaps, like the Titanic, this episode will give us an example of what not to do, and the cost death of this episode, our loss in listenership, will be worth it later.
Thanks for sticking with us, guys. We'd love to hear from you. We're Great Debates 69 everywhere, and we'll see you next week on The Great Debates.
When that ship left England, it was making for the shore. The rich refused to associate with the poor, so they put the poor below. They were the first to go.
The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.
When that great ship went down.